Avos Perik Dalad Mishnah Chaf Gimel 423 in some Mishnah says 418. Here we have Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who was a student of Rabbi Meir and a contemporary of Rabbi Yudan Asi, the author of the Mishnah. So he says, let me read the whole Mishnah first to you, then we'll talk about the big picture, then go to each detail. He said, Al teratze es chavercha b'sha'as ka'aso. Don't attempt to appease your friend at the time of his fury. Va'al tenachamenu b'sha'as shemeso mutal lefanav. And don't try to console him while his beloved dead person is still lying before him unburied. Val tishalo b'sha'as nidro. And don't attempt to get him out of his neder at the time that, you know, he's still in the throes of whatever strong emotion was that made him invoke that neder, that vow. Val tishtadeler also b'sha'as kalkalaso. And don't attempt to see him at the time of his degradation. So the basic overarching point of our Mishnah is that even if you want to help somebody because you see they're in emotional distress, you need to think before you act. Because sometimes you or your best intentions are actually counterproductive. You're adding fuel to the fire. It's like you see a grease fire and you feel like you need to do something. So what can you do? You panic and you sort of like, you know, take the hose pipe and start spraying water on it. Well, that's the worst thing you could do. Okay? It makes things worse. You should not confuse action with progress. Just because you're doing something doesn't mean it's something good. It's just something. Maybe it's bad. And our Mishnah here is saying that sometimes people who are not always rational, that's a human condition. People are not rational. Even the most rational of us have a breaking point. Certain things just tip us off. And at that point, while a person's in that emotional state, that extreme emotional state, they're not ready to be brought back. And the worst thing you can do, perhaps, is to tell an angry person to calm down. It just makes them more worked up. And that's what our Mishnah says here. Our Mishnah says, Al teratze es chavercha b'sha'as ka'aso. The first of the four cases is when a person is angry, he's furious, he's seeing red. So at that point, don't try to appease him, because telling a person to calm down when they're worked up just makes them more angry. You tell them, there's nothing to be upset about. That's just going to get them more riled up. And therefore, the best thing you can do in this scenario is give the person a time to calm down by themselves before they can hear reason. Then you can appease them. You can, if it's your fault while they're angry, you can try to explain things to them. But you got to give them time and space, because even though if they were rational, they would listen to you, human beings are not rational. Second of all, says the Mishnah, Va'al tenachamenu b'sha'as shemeso mutal lefanav. Don't attempt to console a person while his unburied, you know, beloved person is still lying there in front of him. The idea is, well, the first part of the Mishnah is talking about the extreme emotion of anger. Here we have the extreme emotion of sorrow and the pain that one feels when he loses a loved one. And there's just the pain he's feeling is because someone who he loved is gone. There's nothing you can say that can make it better. And saying a platitude about how it's all for the good, whatever you're going to tell him, is not going to make him feel better. It's going to make him feel worse. We've all been to the Shiva houses where the guy gets there and he says, with the best intentions, the worst possible things. Doesn't help one bit. So therefore, there's a time and a place when a person is still so raw from the wound of having just lost their beloved relative. So you just have to give them space, give them time. And then after a time, they'll be ready for nechama. You'll begin to help them to work through their pain. But with all these things, a lot of time, what the person needs most is just validation. Not to be told, it's not so bad. Maybe it is so bad. But to say, yes, it is so bad and it hurts so much. And acknowledge that and validate it. Because to the contrary, if you don't do that and you try to downplay it, try to, you know, bring them back to their senses, so to speak, again, you just make things much worse. I should note here that the halacha, of course, prescribes a time to visit and provide nechama. And that time is not while the person's relatives unburied, but afterwards. Those 7 days of Shiva only begin after the burial, and so it's now the time of healing is and coming to grips with things is just starting. The first stage is starting, but even then, there is a custom that if you're not a close relative or close friend of the mourner, so to give them a couple days, a few days, and come, you know, for the first 3 days, let them deal with, you know, their pain more in private and just with their people who are they're most close with before they're ready to receive you and your consolation. Third of all, it says, Va'al tisha lo b'sha'as nidro. Now, this is a little bit of a technical term, the technical point. A person has the halachic possibility of making something forbidden to him on a d'oraisa level. By declaring a neder, he makes something forbidden to him as if it were prohibited by the Torah. So, in a moment of, you know, extreme, whatever it is, extreme emotion, a person can say, you're never coming back to my house ever again, or I'm never going to spend time with you or share with you or give to you this thing ever again. And you can restrict it technically as if it were like, you know, like a korban, like forbidden. Now, there's such a thing as hataras nadarim. A person can undo and annul his neder, his vow. And that requires something called Pesach. A Pesach is an opening, literally. It means that the person who is attempting to do the annulment of the vow says to the person who made the vow, listen, this vow has consequences. Now you tell me, if you would have realized these consequences would have been possibilities at the time that you made your vow, and that's a reasonable thing to have thought, would you have still made the vow? So if the person who made the vow says, you know what, no, I wouldn't have. I didn't realize how to feel in 10 years' time and how it would be so difficult to uphold this because, you know, as I get older, it would be different, or whatever the story is. So then that would be called a Pesach, and the person could say, listen, you never meant it from the beginning, and therefore your vow is ab initio, like retroactively undone. Now, that requires a person saying, you know what, if I would have known that, I wouldn't have made the vow. If the person's still worked up by whatever it is that made him vow never again, so now, if you ask him in the throes of that intense emotion, do you realize in 10 years' time this could be the consequences? He's going to say, I don't care. You see, so by you attempting to help him annul the vow when he hasn't calmed down, you're making it worse because you don't get a second chance. If he says explicitly, I don't care about that consequence, so now he's stuck, okay? So again, like the other case of the Mishnah here, someone's experiencing intense emotion, you're trying to be helpful, but your helpfulness, if it's poorly timed and poorly considered about the needs and the emotional, you know, space of the other person, you're actually making things much worse. Okay, and the fourth and final case is Va'al tishtadel or oso b'sh'as kalkalaso. Don't attempt to see a person at the time of his degradation. Here the point is, the fourth case is a different emotion, not anger and not sorrow, but humiliation, right? Shame. So a person who feels, you know, something terribly embarrassing has happened to him. It could be he stumbled in some sin, it could be he's got a bad haircut, it could be he slipped on a banana peel, it could be his business has gone bankrupt. So a person needs time to come to grips with that and to, you know, begin to be able to swallow it and deal. And to try to see the person when he's not ready, your very presence, you're seeing him in that state of kilkel when he still feels like everyone sees me and everyone laughs at me and everyone's, so that's making it worse, not better. So your attempt to try to see him, to appease him, is again, not what he needs. When you're trying to do chesed, you need to think not what's good for you, because you have a desire to give, but what's the need of the recipient to provide that. And sometimes a person just needs a space, they need time, and even after that, they need validation. They don't need you banging down their door and being the, you know, the guy with all the answers. No, sometimes there are no right answers. Sometimes there's nothing right to say. You have to give a person time and space. And then, when the time is right, you can come and you can provide your consolation, or you can appease the person, or you can help them process through their loss. But everything in its good time, and you need to be mindful of the needs of the other person, not your desire to be the guy with all the solutions to the problems.